Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Joining us now on the Schneider Orange Highline, our buddy Ryan Wood from the Green Bay Press Gazette. He is going to be joining us weekly on Tuesdays and Thursdays throughout the entire season. Ryan, how you doing?
Doing great, Bill. How's it going?
We're doing well. So let's start with all the discussion, and we'll get it out of the way, revolving around Aaron Rodgers. It seems like he just doesn't want to talk about the Jordan Love stuff anymore. They've got a lot of work to do. It's a short 3 weeks, kind of preseason, so to speak, of training camp as they try to get ready for an opener. So give me your thoughts on where the offense is, and I know we can't see a whole lot, but give me your thoughts as to the depth at tackle, the depth at wide receiver, and some of the things Aaron Rodgers has alluded to in his pressers.
I mean, the offense is going to go in a lot of ways how much progression we see in the quarterback from year one to year two. I mean, he's going to be the foundation of this thing, and I know that they still want to run the ball more, and they're going that way, but the progression we see in Aaron Rodgers from year one to year two is going to dictate a lot of this growth that we see. Now, as far as the tackle depth, I think that's a concern. You know, you look at this offensive line, it's really interesting. The interior is where they have the depth in terms of talent, but also in versatility. I mean, we've seen Lane Taylor slide outside to tackle in a complete emergent situation in the past and hold his own. We've seen that happen. Billy Turner, starting right guard, he started at both tackle spots in this league. Now, the Packers want him at guard. They paid him to play guard. He's better at guard than tackle, but he still started at both spots. So they've got a lot of versatility on the inside, too. It's not just the talent that they have in terms of the numbers, but they have versatility. So it's going to be really interesting if there is an injury to David Bakhtiari or Rick Wagner, how they reconfigure this offensive line. Usually teams are loath to move a starter from another position to fill another one, because then you're weaker at two spots. But the reality is that their best backup tackles might be guards.
What did you hear as to the release? Why did the release of Cole Madison? Just not the guy they thought he was?
Yeah, you know, he's coming off the ACL. I think it was just going to be a really tough go to miss your rookie year. And understandably so, he had to step away to take care and address his mental health. You come back year two, and it was going to always be a retro year. He made the initial 53, but it was really a learning year to knock the rust off from this year away, to get acclimated with the offense. And then at the end of that, while you're practicing, you tear your ACL. So that's 2 years gone to start a career for a fifth-round pick that, you know, was not a sure thing coming in. I mean, there was an adjustment period that he was going to have. And then you look at the fact that what they did in the draft. I mean, they drafted 3 6-round linemen. They've got Elgton Jenkins, who was a second-rounder last year while Cole Madison was away, and he's come in and he's been an instant starter at left guard. So there's other pieces now that weren't there when they drafted him a couple years ago.
I look at the depth of the offensive line. I agree that the interior is much better than the exterior when you talk about the tackle position. But you look at a guy like Elgton Jenkins. I wanted to touch base specifically on him. You have Lane Taylor coming back. You have some depth there when it comes to that. How strong an offensive line, should they remain healthy, do you think they have?
I think a lot of that depends on what happens at right tackle with Rick Wagner coming in and more specifically, injury situation at tackle. Because if there is an injury there, I mean, right now your backup at both tackle spots is question mark. I mean, that's the backup if you look at the two deep. So no matter, you've got Billy Turner who's played both tackle spots, but you're still sliding a guard, a preferred guard, to tackle if he's the guy. Alex Light, You saw him last year. You probably wish you didn't, because it wasn't good when you saw him last year. So who's there to if there's an injury and attrition is part of offensive line play over the course of the season, injuries are going to happen. It's rare and special the year that you are able to trot out the same five all 16 games. So when that does happen, if it happens at the tackle, what's the depth like on the perimeter is going to probably ultimately define the arc of this offensive line over the course of the season. And it's an open-ended question. It's something that they're going to have to find is a lot of, you know, the depth and guys that come in off the sideline if they're needed.
Are they better pass blocking or better run blocking? This is going to be a run oriented offense. As we know, Matt LaFleur wants to use more motion. It wants to morph more to the Kyle Shanahan style of offense that we saw in the NFC Championship game with a lot of misdirection as well. Is this line better equipped for that today?
That's a great question, because I do think that there was some struggle last year, especially early in the year when they transitioned to that outside stretch zone. There's a reason why over the course of the year, especially early, they still at times fell back into that inside zone blocking scheme, because it's what they've been doing for a long time under Mike McCarthy. And what's that look like year two, especially with the limited offseason time and the offensive line especially is a group that benefits from getting together in the offseason, because you're able to mirror your foot patterns and you're able to get in sync with the guy you're lining up next to. It's the whole, you know, the individual it needs to fall into the collective. And the best way to do that is to actually be able to practice together. So without that, with that limited time, how does it look year two? I do think that, you know, this David Bakhtiari is one of the best, if not the best, pass blocker in the NFL. There's a reason why he's an all pro. This offensive line for a long time has been set up for pass pro, because you've had Aaron Rodgers and you've had Brett Favre before him. And in Green Bay, the philosophy has been keep the quarterback's jersey clean, and rightly so. But now you're moving to that heavy run offense. You need to get into a place where you're doing more of that outside zone than last year. It's going to be really interesting to see without that extended training camp in the offseason.
So the run game, we know they really want to rely upon, and I don't know what A.J. Dillon's going to bring to the table. We haven't seen him take a snap in the NFL yet. I do know Aaron Jones became a better pass blocker and pass catcher out of the backfield, but is he the second-best pass catcher on this team behind Davante Adams?
Well, technically, Alan Lazard had three more receiving yards than him last year. He was 477, and Aaron Jones was 474. So Alan Lazard might have something to say about that, but there's no question that Aaron Jones as a pass receiver factors into this offense quite a bit. And I mean, he's a playmaker. That's kind of the role that he has established for himself. It's not just a runner. I mean, he's a playmaker. You get the ball in his hands, whether that's splitting out wide and going 70 yards for a touchdown in Kansas City as a receiver, or the 16 rushing touchdowns that he had last year, you just get the ball in his hands. So I don't think that they're going to be too cautious about how that happens. I think that that's going to be a goal for sure with this offense, is just getting it to Aaron Jones. Is he the second best? I don't, Alan Lazard is a guy that they're going to have to rely on to make a jump here. It's not ideal that he didn't get a full offseason, because he is a young player, but there was enough signs last year that he could not only the production, but over and over again on third down, he stepped up. He had the big touchdown in Detroit when they were mounting their comeback in the finale to secure the bye. So I would still say that going into the season, especially without Devin Funchess now, Alan Lazard is probably factoring in as that second receiver.
That was going to be my next question. So Equanimeous St. Brown, we didn't get a chance to see last year. I think he's got a lot of talent, but I just haven't seen it on display. Marquez Valdes-Scantling short arm some passes. Who's the X factor? Is it a guy like Jake Kumerow or this Reggie Bagleton I keep hearing about?
You know, the X factor might still be MVS. If you were to, you know, what you just said about Equanimeous St. Brown, if you were to pause MVS's career after year one, you would have said the same thing about him. He had a lot of positive signs as a rookie, and then obviously he fell apart last year. I mean, his confidence was shot. The first play against the Bears at Lambeau Field late in the season, when he had a touchdown slip through his hands, I mean, that was kind of the epitome of how his season went. Now, we've seen this in very recent past. We've seen a receiver have a very solid rookie year, fall apart as a sophomore and then rebound and recover in remarkable fashion. His name was Davante Adams. So I think that helps Marquez Valdes-Scantling that he has a Davante Adams in his room to learn from, to rely on, that can't hurt. But when you look at talent, you just on paper, who's taller, stronger, faster? It's MDF. I mean, his size speed is rare. We've seen a lot of big plays. So I think the X factor is, can he respond and can he rebound and refine his confidence going into year three now? And I don't think it's a coincidence that when we've talked to him this offseason, Matt LaFleur has made it clear that they're going to rely on MDF. They need that recovery to happen because of the talent that he has shown. Equanimee St. Brown, same thing. All we see now is one season of sample size for him, and it was something to build on. It doesn't necessarily mean that he will, especially coming off the injury. So there's question marks there, but there's also a lot of talent. If those two guys can play to their talent level, it bodes well for this offense.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com. You can find him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. Real quick before I let you go, we're going to talk about Kenny Clark coming up here in just a little bit. But is Kenny Clark either the top priority or one of the top two or three priorities to re-sign this coming offseason, or where do you see that going?
Probably David Bakhtiari. He's still young. He's an all-pro left tackle, and the position is prioritized over an interior lineman. But, I mean, if David Bakhtiari is 1A, then Kenny Clark's 1B. It's going to be really interesting because if you look at, you know, where Kenny Clark might end up finding his market value, it's not too much to think that he could be looking at $16 million a year. I mean, that puts him right on the fringe of the top 10 of interior linemen. He was top 10 last year in sacks, and he was the youngest player among the top 10 in sacks at his position last year. He was 6 in sacks among interior linemen. Second straight year he had 6 sacks, and he cracked into the Pro Bowl. He's looking at, conservatively, $16 million a year. How does that work with the receding cap because of coronavirus? Even without that, Brian Gutekunst had a lot of free agent questions to answer, a lot of tough decisions with his own free agents coming up next spring. With the potentially receding cap, it's going to be a funnel that leads to a ton of tough decisions. It's going to be really interesting to see how Gutekunst prioritizes all the tough calls he has to make.
Ryan, great stuff as always. Look forward to it all season long, and we'll talk again on Thursday, okay?
All right. We'll see you later, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. There you go. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette and PackersNews.com joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE, or go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.